All right. According to Tom, he's ready. So let's say hello to Pablo Schreiber from Lights Out.
How you guys doing down there?
Hey, man. How you doing?
What's going on? How are you guys?
Doing awesome. Where are you?
I'm in Jersey City, just outside of New York.
In Jersey City. Are you all, like, have you filmed the whole Lights Out series, season one?
Yeah, we're done. We shot 13 episodes, and we finished shooting that in the summertime. And because of scheduling and where they wanted to put it, we waited around for 5 or 6 months until we got on the air. So we're just enjoying the luxury of watching it on TV now.
Is that a weird, I guess maybe that's just your profession, but it just seems weird to really not get any payoff from your work for so long.
It is. Well, I actually happen to be doing a play up here in New York, which is kind of the opposite of the flip side of the coin. You know, in the theater, you get to do the show live in front of the audience and have that feedback. With TV, it's a very different thing. You know, you do the project, like I said, 5 or 6 months later, you get to see it, and you're not feeling the effect or the feedback while you perform. So they're very different.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, like, you get criticized or whatever, and that you can take that to the next night, right?
People throw things at you. Yeah, it's great.
but as far as on TV, I would imagine, though, if you get some bad reviews or something, well, you're like, boy, that was 6 months ago. I don't even remember.
Exactly. Yeah, sticks and stones, man. You can't hurt me. I'm way past that.
All right. This is it's interesting how an actor probably just keeps grinding, just keeps going through project after project after project,
yeah.
whereas we, the television viewer, and we feel like we're very gifted in the art of watching TV, we're kind of in a time capsule because we're gigantic Wire fans.
Oh, and there you go. Good.
And we're recycling it through DirecTV's re-showing of them on the 101 channel, which I don't know if that's a check for you at all, but...
No, I haven't. I'm not even aware of that. I'm more aware of people that go back and watch it on DVD. It's funny. It's like the last 6 months to a year, it seems like a lot of people have gone back and discovered that show.
Do you feel like it's almost in its own category for TV, just from excellence and from uniqueness and just from the fact that network TV probably never would have touched it and everyone would have thought of it?
Well, that's absolutely true. I mean, there's no way you can do anything like that TV show in a network setting. But that's almost like comparing, you know, Mars and Earth. It's the network scene is so far from that. That's the beauty of cable TV. And it's actually one step removed from, the cable TV that I'm on now, you know, with FX, which is a great and superb channel, and they have excellent programming. They also have advertisers, and they have to pay for things with HBO and Showtime and the pay subscriptions. They also don't have the commercial support, so they have almost another level of removal from that kind of stuff. But it's a good comparison, and I appreciate the feedback. You know, I do believe that The Wire was absolutely one of the greatest TV shows ever made. And I feel incredibly fortunate now to be involved with Lights Out because it's TV of a similar quality. It's a much smaller scope, you know. It's about a family. It's not about the city of Baltimore and by comparison kind of our country and where we're at. It's just about a family and what they will do to survive in times of hardship. But I really feel that the quality is similar. So I feel very fortunate to have gotten to work on these two projects.
And yeah, and episode 5, by the way, tonight on FX at 9 o'clock Central Time. So check it out if you want to see Pablo Schreiber and the whole gang on Lights Out tonight. It's rolling through season one as we speak. All right, so. As Nikki Sabatka, here's the thing. As I watched it the first time, I didn't really know what I was watching at the time. It was season two of a show that I didn't feel like my buddies were watching, so I'm kind of going through it. And I fell in love in season one with the Baltimore hood and everything that was going on there. Then they
sure, you were pissed off. You're like, what are these white guys doing on my show?
I have to be honest. That I did not appreciate season two of The Wire until about 3 months ago when I went through it again with an open mind and a willing heart, and I freaking love season two now, but I spent about 5 years of my life bad-mouthing season two, thinking that was the weakest season. I bet you hear this all the time, because at the time, I don't think people appreciated it, and now I think we're all catching on to how great it was.
Yeah, you know, we got a lot of that at the time, but at the same time, we got a lot of... It was kind of split down the middle, I feel like, because since it was only the second season, people hadn't really caught on to the show yet. So there were a lot of people that tuned in. The second season was their first season, you know?
Uh-huh.
So they had no context for the ghetto element, you know, prior, the project element. And so the season two was kind of their introduction. So we had people that when in season three, it kind of went back to the project a little bit. People were like, what the, you know, what the hell? We're confused by that. But yeah, then definitely a great deal of people were on the other side, which was at the time, it felt like it was a shift. But then, you know, if you were a diehard Wire fan, you realized that every year there was that similar shift.
Yeah.
You know, each season was its own, focus. It was a beautifully constructed show in the sense that the whole thing examined the city of Baltimore, but each chapter of it in terms of each of the five seasons examined a different element of the city and what made it work. And then obviously the larger context of that is taken out and looking at one city and its problems. We kind of get to see a snapshot of where we're at as a country.
Did you know at the time, like, hey, I'm on perhaps what people will call the greatest television show ever?
Not at all, because, you know, I watched the first season, and I got totally hooked by about the fourth or the fifth episode of the first season. But that first season, you know, that the pilot episode, the first and the second episode, you watch it, it's a little shaky, you know? It's not the highest quality of television making in those early episodes. You can really see them kind of finding their feet. Obviously, once they got going, it became this amazing thing. But at the time when we started shooting the beginning of the second season, I think it had told a great story in the first season, but ultimately it was really still kind of finding its voice. So it only kind of dawned in for me. It set in later, you know, when I started to watch the seasons after mine and watch mine in relation to them, that I began to get a sense of what it was that I was involved in.
All right, this is Pablo Schreiber. One of our favorite characters ever, Nicky Sabaka on The Wire. Right now, he's Johnny Leary on Lights Out. And you seem like a very a serious actor. Like, you attended an alternative arts high school, and you're on Broadway right now. You're lauded for the emotion that you can bring to certain roles and the powerful...
Is that another way of calling me a douchebag?
No. Wow, dude. No. I'm leading somewhere, though. I am leading somewhere, but, you know, you seem so... I mean, this is a real actor, Bob. This is no...
Right.
He ain't messing around. How do you find yourself on Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Like every role of yours is this emotionally powerful.
Is he shunned on Broadway for doing that?
No, the boys from It's Sunny in Philadelphia are some of my best buddies. So they love The Wire as well. Strangely enough, all of those wacky kids, they love that serious drama. So they had I knew them from way before, but when they saw me on The Wire, they're like, "Oh man, we got to use that!" And so they asked me to come and do an episode of their show, which is totally fun and totally easy because it's such an easy job. You go down there and you basically just play the straight guy to whatever they're doing and let them do their wacky shtick.
Yeah, were you the guy that they were returning the toy to?
Yeah, exactly. Bringing a robot back to me that they stole like years ago at Christmas time.
Okay, so your job, his job is to act normal, like the Brady Bunch movie or something that they...
But you see it, it's the pattern with their show, and it's a great formula, you know, they have the five or six series regulars are always these crazy, outrageous characters, and the people they bring on the show, for the most part, are kind of straight guys, and they're just there to let them do their shit, which is fantastic.
Yeah, they're just a bunch of idiots, and you're like a normal human in normal society that can't believe these people live.
Sort of like that, yeah.
All right, it says here, is this bullsh, that you were an amateur rapper? Or what does that mean?
Oh, man, where do you get your information? Okay, yeah, let's clear that up. No, I rapped once in a high school talent show, and it seems to have followed me via the internet for many, many years, so... if anybody out there is listening and asks me a question about being an amateur rapper, don't do it, because I'm not.
Okay,
so what did you do?
You know, I don't even remember. I think it was an original piece that I composed with my friends, and I couldn't give you the lyrics for the life.
All right, well, as long as you weren't covering Vanilla Ice or anything, it probably won't haunt you for the rest of your life.
No, and we had a black person in the group, so we had.
Well, that totally signs off on it then.
It's cool. There was a black person in Seattle, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on. What are you talking about, bro? You got Jason Terry down there.
Oh, that's one. There you go. Yeah.
Wow. I had no idea.
Class of 95. I hooped against him in high school. How about that?
Really?
Oh, these connections are going to go deeper. You want to hear this?
I do.
I'm a lifelong Dallas Mavericks fan.
Really?
Let me tell you.
Why would anyone be unless you live in Dallas, they were so bad, right?
Let me tell you something. Well, lifelong is stretching it.
Okay.
I happened to, I forget exactly the year, but it happened the rookie year of my favorite player, Mr. Dirk Nowitzki.
Uh-huh.
I turned on SportsCenter, and I saw this big, tall guy of dramatic descent grab a rebound and dribble all the way down the court and dunk on somebody on a fast break. And I said, that guy right there, he's my guy. And ever since then, I've been a huge Mavericks fan. And then you guys got Steve Nash, who is from British Columbia, where I'm from. So he was 2 years ahead of me in high school, and he was a local legend. And then later on, he ended up getting Jason Terry, who graduated from the same city as me the same year, and we competed against each other in high school. So yeah, the roots run deep with the Dallas Mavericks.
Wow. Do you ever get down to a game?
Which leads me to my next point. I have a wager for you.
What do you got?
All right. So listen, if you know, being sports reporters in the Dallas area, I figure if you guys can get Mark Cuban to wear a Lights Out t-shirt courtside to one of the games, I will promise you that Johnny Leary will wear a Bob and Dan hat, t-shirt, or whatever you can get to me in season 2 of Lights Out.
Wow.
Interesting.
That is
just going to put it out there.
Uh-huh.
We might have to put a Mavs logo on our gear.
I'm quite intrigued by this.
I think we can do it, though.
Listen, let's make it better. Let's give Mark something to get out of this.
Yeah.
I'll wear a Bob and Dan t-shirt and some Dallas Mavericks regalia.
All right.
I like this.
I think we can do it.
I like where this is going. This is working out well, Pablo. So
okay, good.
A Mavs fan. This is this changes my perception of season 2 of The Wire even more, Dan. But
you know, it's the highest rated season they ever had.
It's almost like Ted Thompson on the Brett Favre Aaron Rodgers decision. I have to apologize to both Ted Thompson and to Pablo Schreiber for my original feelings, and it is clear that they were right all along, and I was wrong. And
was there public slander involved?
No, but if someone had told me to rank the seasons of The Wire 1 year ago today,
right,
2 would have been last, and that's unfair now. Now that I've seen them all, there's no way 2 is last.
That's in retrospect. You never said it out loud. So, you know, for me, I feel like it's water under the bridge.
Can we bury this beef, do you believe?
I think so. I think we're done.
Good. That's good. I feel much better now.
All right. I like where we're going here. All right. We have two more things for you. One, or I guess 3, because we're going to get this bet going.
Yeah.
I'll
get in touch with the people and we'll send you some gear.
Yeah, we need gear so we can give it to Mark Cuban because he can't afford gear.
No, he's a poor man.
Number 2, there's another Dallas connection. I want you to Google James Neal. He's a pretty good young player for the Dallas Stars, and we have him as your evil twin.
Your doppelganger.
James Neal.
James Neal is a Dallas Stars hockey player. You've heard of hockey?
Oh, this guy better be handsome or you guys are in trouble.
Dude, and all he's dreamy.
And all we do when he has a big night is we point out that Nicky Sobotka had a goal and
right.
2 assists in him.
Because,
I'm not sure how many people get it because they have to be both Wire fans and Dallas Stars hockey fans, so I'm not sure how large that demographic is, but
it's not a big bubble, no.
Our comedy is very narrow focused.
It's really just for us usually.
Someday maybe we'll call him Johnny. You know, we'll call him Johnny Leary if Lights Out really takes off.
No
there
doubt.
But thus far...
Hey, he's not bad looking.
Yeah, no. All right. You got the computer right there?
Yeah, I'm taking it as a compliment.
Yeah, no, he's great. He's dreamy.
I mean, listen, you know, he's not going to be voted the GQ Man of the Year anytime soon, but he's not going to get kicked out of bed either, so.
No, he gets girls.
Yeah,
this is very nice. You know, you have to understand. We talk to actors occasionally, and they're not all nearly as charming as you. So this is where I feel like we have something here.
They're the doucher ones that you referred to earlier.
You know all about them.
Yeah, more, even more serious actors.
And then I wanted to ask you for a favor, perhaps. This is our wacky radio liner. We would like you to identify yourself. And then say, I never listened to Bob and Dan on the Ticket.
You got it right now?
Sure.
This is Pablo Schreiber, and I have never listened to Bob and Dan on the Ticket.
Well done.
Does that work for you?
That's awesome.
Everybody watch
You're
it lights out.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we'll try to get your ratings up, and I don't know what that does for you. You probably already got paid, but you'll be there for season two.
Right?
And,
is that going down? Season two good?
That's what we're hoping. You get Mark Cuban with a T-shirt, and it'll go.
That's a big step. Hang on, so Tom can figure out how we can bother you again if we want to get in touch with you sometime.
There we go. You just give me a call, guys. This was fun.
All right, Pablo. See you, man.
Have a good one. Cheers.
There he goes.
Thanks, Pablo.
There goes James Neal.
Pablo Schreiber. Nikki Sabatka. And now Johnny Leary, you say?
Johnny.
That's right, Johnny Leary.
He was in a bad way in episode 4. Let's see if he can get out of that in episode 5.
Why did I assume his last name was Lights? I thought the fighter's last name was Lights, no?
No, that's his nickname.
I better watch more carefully. All right, I'm one episode behind.